Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Today, we're turning to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, as we endeavor to seek peace in relationships. Here's Paul Chapel.
How many times do I have to forgive somebody? And you know what Jesus said? He said, I want you to forgive him 70 times 7. He said, Peter, I don't want you to stop forgiving him. It's to be an infinity. It's to be something that goes on and on and on. And you see, the fact of the matter is that if we're going to really understand forgiveness, we've got to admit that we've been hurt. And then we've got to let it go. We've got to let it go on a continual, daily basis until it's completely gone. Now, someone might say, well, how do I know when I've really released this matter? How do I know when I've released the offender? I'll give you one way that I believe to be a good test. When you can hear their name or think about the hurt and it doesn't hurt anymore. When you can hear their name and it doesn't hurt anymore, you're coming to the place of really letting it go. I've got to admit that I've been hurt. I've got to let it go by forgiving continually. I've got to let God deal with the situation. I heard the story of two little boys that were in their backyard playing, and one's name was Johnny, one's name was Bobby, and boy, they were playing army men, and after a while they got tired of the toy soldiers, and they started playing one against the other and throwing rocks at each other and fighting each other, and boy, they got all scuffed up, and little Bobby came home at the end of the day, and he was bleeding on his face and dirty on his face, and he said to his mom, he said, Mom, I don't ever want to go to Johnny's house again. I don't like Johnny anymore. He plays too hard, and he's not my friend. I'm never going to his house again. Next morning came, and he got up bright and early and brushed himself off and grabbed his toys, and he headed right back over to Johnny's house. And his mom said on the way, he said, I thought, Bobby, that you were mad at Johnny. I thought you said you'd never play with him again. I thought he wasn't your friend anymore. And Bobby smiled, and he looked at his mom with that sheepish little grin, and he said, oh, he said, Bobby and me's good forgetters. But you know, a lot of us aren't very good at forgetting. We remember, and we hold, and we hold, and we hold, and God says, let it go. Let it go. And so how do we forgive? We admit that we've been hurt, and then we let it go. And then thirdly, we replace the hurt with God's peace. We replace the hurt with God's peace, and God can do this by His grace. Colossians 3 and verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." God says, I don't want hurt reigning in your heart. I don't want hate reigning in your heart. I want my peace to reign in your heart. I heard about a young woman who was summoned for jury duty, and she stood before the judge. She said, "Judge," she said, "I can't serve on the jury." She said, I'm against capital punishment." And the judge said, "Well, ma'am, this is not a capital charge in this matter." And the judge said, "This is a case where a husband emptied out his wife's savings account, and he went to Las Vegas with another woman, and he spent all of the savings there in Las Vegas." And the woman thought about it for a moment. She said, "All right, I'll serve." And she said, "And I could be wrong about capital punishment, too." And that's how a lot of people are, you know. They think they've dealt with something until an opportunity comes up to maybe express some of that anger, some of that unresolved conflict. And that's why we preach the series on recovery. God wants you to hear that name and think of that situation and remember the trial and be able to have His peace flood your soul and His peace carry you on until the next day. And so we need to forgive the offenders. Secondly, if we'll have peace in our relationships, we must be willing to apologize to the offended. Apologize to the offended. Now, this is very important because unresolved relationships prevent recovery. We've got to be willing to go to someone and say, "I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" Now, this step is not an easy step, but it's a vital step. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." God wants us to pursue peace with others. God wants us to be at peace with others, husbands and wives and family members and those at work. Now, I recognize as I speak on this matter of apologizing to the offended that this is not always possible in every case, and it's not always advisable. There are some things from years ago, sometimes better left alone. There's no sense opening more hurt and opening up Pandora's box. But whenever advisable and whenever possible, we need to be willing to humble ourselves to ask the forgiveness of those that we have hurt. Sometimes people are so filled with bitterness that they would resent you or even question your sincerity if you came to apologize. And so you need to be very sensitive to finding the right time in this matter. But how do we apologize to the offended? And where does that all begin as it relates to recovering according to the Word of God? Well, I would suggest to you, first of all, that we need to make a list of those we've hurt. Make a list of those I've hurt. Now, you say, well, what's the purpose of that? The purpose is that we might apologize. And I know some of you are sitting here thinking, well, I don't have a very long list. I'm such a nice guy. Now, I'm sure the guy next to me would have a long list, but I don't have a long list. And some of us might think, well, what's this all about? I don't really know where this is going. Well, let me help you just a little bit. Think about maybe some of these things. A debt you've never paid. A person whom you overly controlled and hurt, maybe in a work relationship or a family relationship. A person you were overly critical of. Someone you physically abused. Someone you lied to. Someone you were unfaithful to. You see, in our lives, all of us are transgressors, and we need to be willing to ask forgiveness of those transgressions. Now, thank God He has already forgiven us. But in the case where we might be helped and where others might be helped by apologizing, as Christians, we need to be willing to say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me?" Now, they may not forgive us. They may not want to find restoration. But we need to be willing to be Christ-like in the matter. So we make a list. Secondly, approach them in the Spirit of Christ. Approach them in the Spirit of Christ. Luke 6:31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." God says it's no big deal to love people who love you. He says you're becoming more like me when you love people that hate you. When you're willing to try to make amends with people you don't even really care for, you're beginning to understand, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, how do you approach someone in a matter like this? And perhaps this week some of you will. How do you go about that? A few thoughts. As you approach a spouse, as you approach a coworker, as you approach a family member, first of all, pray for the right time. Pray for the right time. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 6, because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. To every purpose there's a time. Pray for the right moment. Pray that God will open up the right door. Secondly, go with the right attitude. Go with the right attitude. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're to speak the truth in love. And as we go to speak to someone about a difficult matter, bathe it in love and in prayer and with the Spirit of Christ. As you approach them, focus on your part and don't worry about their response. Just determine to be what God wants you to be. You know, I find that many times in approaching someone in a difficult situation like this, the attitude makes the big difference. The attitude determines the altitude. If we go with a sweet spirit, it helps. I heard a man say years ago, some people grin and bear it, others smile and change it. And when we go with a smile and with a sweet spirit, it can make such a difference. You don't want to go to someone and say, remember that time when I did something that you shouldn't have been offended by, but you were offended by it? Remember that? Well, I'm sorry. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about going with the right spirit at the right time. Thirdly, make sure it is appropriate to go. Make sure that it is appropriate to go. For example, it would not be appropriate to go to an old girlfriend or an old boyfriend that is now married. Not a smart thing, maybe. It may not be appropriate to go to other situations, as I said a moment ago, that are sometime past, and it would just recreate a problem all over again. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse number 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And we want to say, God, I want my words to bring health and restoration and recovery to this situation. I want you to use me as a peacemaker to be the one that would help this situation to come about to recovery by your grace. And then once you've done your best in this matter of saying you're sorry, then let it go. You see, as long as you focus on the person that troubles you, the more like them you will become. But as long as you focus on Jesus Christ, the more like him you will become. And so once you have asked for that forgiveness and done your best according to the Word of God, then keep on going with your life. If we're going to seek peace in our relationships, then we must first of all forgive the offenders. We must secondly apologize to the offended. Thirdly, we need to develop spiritual relationships. We need to develop spiritual relationships. Now, many in this room today would think back and say, boy, as I look back in my life, I've had some failed relationships. I've had some hurtful relationships and some difficult relationships. Now, Lord, in the future, I want to have relationships that will help me grow spiritually, that are wholesome, that are godly relationships. I want in the days ahead to do better than I did before. How is that accomplished? How can we help that process of having godly relationships? Three thoughts. First of all, avoid the scorners. In our relationships, we need to learn to avoid the scorners of the Word of God and of the things of God. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And for many of you, this will be new, but I want you to notice it with me this morning, because this should be one of the passages that really grips your heart, and some of you may want to even memorize Psalm 1:1. Because this passage speaks about avoiding the scorner who's going to do nothing but cause more hurtful and harmful relationships. Psalm 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, there are those people in your life who perhaps are always so negative and scornful about the Bible, about the house of God, the church, about the things of God. Well, who do they think they are? Well, you don't have to listen to the Bible. Let's go knock down some cold ones. Let's do it our way. And they're scornful. And here you are trying to live for Jesus and please the Lord Jesus, and yet they're condemning the things that are right and wholesome in your life. And the Bible says very clearly that we're not to sit in the seat of the scornful. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Many times ladies will find another lady that's just angry and bitter, and they'll bring that out in one another. Many times men will find another man that's critical and angry, and they'll bring that out of one another. So God says that we're not to sit in the seat of the scornful. We're not to make a friendship with an angry person who's going to bring that out so that we cause more hurt instead of bring more healing into the relationship. Avoid the scorner. Secondly, avoid the pretenders. The pretenders. Now, there are some people that are not blatantly critical of the Bible or critical of your attempt to live for God. They'll even give a pretense that they believe in God. But they are not legitimately and willfully following after Christ from their heart. Now, the Bible speaks of them, and I think there you'll find the verse in your notes, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. These are people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And so God says, from such, turn away. They have the form of godliness, but they're denying the power. In other words, they'll say, yeah, I believe in God, but you know, you don't have to take it to those extremes. In other words, they'll find, they'll come to church once in a while, but they'll talk maybe right when the preaching is really starting to touch someone's heart. They'll give their opinion of it during the message. In other words, they'll say, hey, Why don't you, you can believe in God, but don't get too carried away with it. I had a fellow out at Edwards Air Force Base tell me one time, he said, the thing that I like about my chaplain here at the base chapel is the fact that he'll still go to the bar with me and listen to some of the dirty jokes with the guys. He said, he just kind of comes down to our level. And I think when I hear a story like that of this verse, a form of godliness, but he's denying the power thereof. There's no fruit of change. There's no fruit of joy and love and righteousness and holiness in his life. And so the Bible says, from such turn away. That's not what the Baptists say. That's not what this pastor says. God says when you're around someone that talks about God, but their life has no fruit, their life is not helping you to be more like Christ, from such turn away. And so, first of all, we need to turn away from the scorner. Secondly, we need to avoid the pretender, those who are walking according to this world. And then thirdly, we need to begin fellowshipping with growing disciples of Jesus Christ. We need, if we're going to have peaceful and godly relationships in the days ahead, to begin fellowshipping with people that are truly growing in the Word of God. Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, fellowship, getting together with God's people, bearing one another's burdens. I'm going to tell you, the fact of the matter is that nearness is likeness. And those that you surround yourself with are the ones that will influence you, and you will ultimately become like them. And so we want to surround ourselves with godly people. People that when you're with them, they can say, boy, I tell you, I enjoyed church Sunday. I got something out of the Bible the other day. I want to share it with you. I'm so glad that I'm saved, and we sure appreciate your Christian friendship. You see, when someone is really growing in the Lord, they're not ashamed to talk that way. They're not just talking about football and basketball and horses and kites and cars. They're talking about things that really matter because they have a spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. And that's what Christian fellowship is based on. You see, Proverbs 27, 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You see, if you are walking in the light, then others will be attracted to that same walk, and you can encourage one another in the light. Hebrews 10, 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now watch this. A good friend will provoke you to good works. A good friend will help you to walk more closely with the Lord. And so as we avoid the scorner and as we avoid the pretender, we're looking for people that are really growing in their faith, so that together we can grow in the Lord. That's why the adult Bible classes are so important at Lancaster Baptist Church. A smaller group of believers encouraging, a community of caring Christians that are helping others to live right, people who have had some failed relationships, to find out how to have relationships that are based on the Word of God and on the grace of God. Now, endeavoring to seek peace in our relationships, it's not an easy thing always, but it's the right thing. Being willing to forgive the offender, being willing to go and ask forgiveness of the offended, and being willing to find right relationships, living in a place and in a way that is pleasing to God. Now, one of the sad realities of life is this, that there will be some situations, some relationships, that will never totally be reconciled this side of heaven. There'll be some situations where someone has passed away, some where even if you approach someone, they're so filled with bitterness that it just seems like an impasse. But I want to tell you something. No matter what may happen in the relationships on this earth, you as a Christian can always know the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can always be at peace with yourself and with God so long as you're following His Word and living with Him. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4 as we close this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. The word careful, if you were to turn that around, means full of care or worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, while the world's pulling her hair out, while the world's angry and bitter and honking and fighting and shooting and filled with bitterness towards one another, God says that our hearts can be filled with a peace and our minds can be filled with a peace that is from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's available through the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of this, Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you may not have peace with someone that had a bad situation with you 10 years ago, but you can have peace with God right now today. And the way to have peace with God is to find it through Jesus Christ, to admit that you are a sinner, to come to a place of saying, Lord, I've been hurtful towards others. I've been wrong. I know that I'm a sinner. But Lord, you say in the Bible that I can have peace. And I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I ask you to come into my life and forgive my sin and to be my Savior. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved and we can know the wonderful peace of God. There may be some here this morning who've never even come to that place of having peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not know that if you died today, you would spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. But God says, I don't want you to be filled with fear. I don't want you to be filled with worry. He says, I want you to come to me and to find my peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you're here this morning, and you've never known the peace of God through Jesus Christ, in a moment, we're going to give you an invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know that peace with God is not found through this church. It's not found through anyone else's church. It's found through a person, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. When He shed His blood on the cross, and when He rose up again on the third day, He did all of that so that we could be at peace with God, so that our sins could be forgiven. And there may be some relationships that you'll never understand this side of heaven, and you'll never have total understanding of it, but you can understand the peace of God today if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him by faith. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how we thank You this morning that You teach us in the Bible how to have peace in our relationships, our family relationships, and in our work and church and other society relationships, Lord. We pray that You would help us to be willing to follow the teaching of Your Word in these matters.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that He intends you to live as His child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.